Good morning.
Good morning.
I missed y'all last Wednesday. I did hear where you were.
We welcome you to worship. So glad to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started today. We'd like to find out who is in worship. Very simple way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you're all done, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be helpful. First person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. If you're the only one on your pew, you got a lot of stuff to do. All right. Other things, several things listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events, opportunities for the week. We are having children's time, so we'll see the kids down here for just a few moments after that first hymn. Also, school is out.
Preach it, preach it, preach it.
Teachers, I hear it. As I walk down the hall, there is an energy. There is a passion. Thank goodness summer is here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Parents, not so much. All right. It is good. We have lots of things that are happening in the life of our family ministry with our children and our youth. Many things are listed there in your bulletin. Make sure you see those. It's going to be a great summer, including we're taking a week off between school and the start of summer programming. So this week, like Sunday night, there are no activities. And this Wednesday, there are no activities. And we'll start back up next week. A week from Wednesday is when our summer series will begin. And we're excited about that. Make sure you see other things that are listed there in your bulletin. It is baptism and communion Sunday. Today, we were going to have somebody for baptism. It just did not work out, but we are having communion. And on those days, we have a benevolence offering that will be taken as you leave either of these doors today. There will be an opportunity for you to give as a response to remembering what Christ has done for us, to remember that there are people in need. In a church office, we get many requests, and this is our opportunity to meet those needs. So whatever you're able to give to the benevolence offering, we'll have young people that will help us collect those at the end of the service. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're thankful for your presence. We'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And our ushers will come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Yesterday, I had the privilege to sit through graduation and to watch many of our young people as they walked across that stage, as they came in to pomp and circumstance. And I saw many of our families. And it just overwhelmed me considering how loved our people are. It was fun to watch our young people grow and to know that there are people like you that have been praying for them, supporting them, encouraging them. So I want you to know, yesterday was a big day in the life of many of our families. In many ways, it's because of the influence that you and this congregation has had. So I want to say thank you for the way that you love and support our young people. And on that note, we know that it all comes from the goodness of God. The only reason we come to worship is because He has provided a place and a way for us to have communion with Him. And that's what we're about to do. Let us prepare for worship.
You are worthy.
Will you pray with me? Father, you are worthy of worship and our praise. If it weren't for you and the presence of the Holy Spirit, this would just be another room with a lot of people in it. But when you show up, we can't help but worship. Thank you for this time that you have given us. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Okay, invite the kids to come down. We got a lot of them here right now. Rebecca. We'll wait. Oh, see, you're not the last one, Rebecca. Look, come on. All right, come on, guys. It's guys only today. All right. Hey, I have a question. I need for you to remember your last birthday party. Okay, in your mind, in your last birthday party. Now, I know some of y'all had a lot of birthday parties. You can pick your favorite one. All right, last birthday party. What did you have to eat? Do you remember? What did you have to eat? Pizza! Did you have cake? Do you remember what kind of cake it was? Oh, do you remember? Oreo ice cream cake. Oh my goodness. Same thing. With strawberries. Ooh, that sounds good. When we have really special days, like our birthdays, right? Sometimes around Thanksgiving or Christmas, we have special meals, right? Sometimes we have pizza. Sometimes we have cake, right? Sometimes, why do you think we have those special meals? Why do you think we have those special meals? What do you think? It's a different time. It's something. It's a way for us to remember that very special day. Because you know what? Your birthday is a very special day. You see the stuff over here on the table? Today, we are remembering a very special day. And this is a special meal that we call communion. Now, basically what that means is we get together and remember the special time that Jesus had when he showed us how much that he loves us. And we remember it by eating a little bit of bread and a little bit of drink, and we call it communion because we do it together. You know why else you have special meals at your special birthdays? You know another reason? Because you're with people that love you. You're with people that care about you. You see all these people around here? We have communion to remember together. Just like you remember your birthday party and you have that pizza and you have that cake, it's remembering a very special day. Today we remember a very special day, and that's why we celebrate communion. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the special days in our life and the people that you have put in our lives. But most importantly, thank you for Jesus, who showed us how much he loves us by being on the cross. Thank you that he took all that punishment for me. And I want to remember him every day, and especially on days like today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job.
Ministry of God's Word this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Pray with me if you would. Father, we gather today to sing praises to your name, to worship you, to honor you, because we remember what you've done for us. Father, forgive us for failing to remember in our daily lives when we get caught up in work and the hassle of our jobs or in the struggles of relationships. Forgive us, Father, for not remembering you and what you've done for us. Father, this week we've dealt with loss, we've dealt with tragedy, we've dealt with celebrations. Father, help us to focus on you through all of those times, because you're the one that provides us those opportunities, but also you're the one that gets us through those struggles, the obstacles that life brings our way. Father, this morning as we continue to worship you, help us limit the distractions of this world to sing praises to who created the world. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
How shall my tongue describe? Jeff mentioned that Friday was the last day of school. People are going on vacations, but there's a term, another thing that goes on in the summer called summer slump. I don't know who any of you know what summer slump is. I bet Raymond knows what summer slump is. And I bet Mike Beeson in the Finance Committee know what summer slump is. Summer slump refers to the fact that donations to churches typically drop in the summertime. And I just thought it would be a good time to remind everybody that even though the giving drops in the summer, the expenses in a church and the financial needs of a church don't go down in the summer. So I just want to encourage everybody to be prayerful about that. Just remember to be faithful in your giving. Even when you're not here, the expenses continue with the church. And I just ask all of you to remember that this year. Hopefully we can avoid some of that summer slump this year. If you will, pray with me. Heavenly Father, you've blessed us in so many ways. We just want to take this opportunity to praise you and to give you thanks for all that you have given us. We often take for granted the many blessings in our lives, our families and our friends, our homes, our jobs and our schools, and our church family. Help us to remember that all these gifts come from you. We praise you and we give you thanks. We now have an opportunity to give you back just a portion of what you have given us. We ask that you give us wisdom to use these gifts to reach others for you and to further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul wrote these words. He said, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" It's a question he's asking. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He goes on. He says, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" I want you to imagine a scene with me. Imagine this, a scene of beauty, a scene of wonder and grace. The King of heaven and the King of earth have prepared a feast to honor his son. The table has been prepared, the son has taken his place at the head, and it's you and I who have been invited to go in and to dine and to fellowship. As we look around the table, we see each other. We see other men and women and boys and girls, all loved by God, all there by invitation. The Son, Jesus Christ, is prepared to receive us as guests and as friends. And he's prepared a feast right there before us. Can you imagine that kind of scene? To be asked to actually be there with the King of Glory and to share a meal. Now, we're at a physical king with a physical kingdom, and you and I were invited, we would naturally want to make preparations, right? There are certain things that are proper that we should do. Perhaps we would look at what we were going to wear, our demeanor, our language, our disposition. All of those things would reflect great joy and honor toward the one who has invited us. Or at least it should, unless we're rude, and we're not rude. So it should. So here's my point. God has indeed prepared a feast in honor of his son, and the Lord's Supper is symbolic of such a feast. I chose to draw your attention to the verse in chapter 10, verse 16, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the only place in the Bible where the Lord's Supper is referred to as communion. Little piece of party trivia for you there. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The only place in the Bible where the Lord's Supper is actually referred to as communion. But second reason that I chose this passage, and more specifically, because I want you to understand what that word communion means in the context of the Lord's Supper. The word communion comes from the Greek word koinonia. It means partnership. It means participation. It means fellowship. It's the joining of two or more into one. That's why Paul continued in the next verse, verse 17 of chapter 10, saying, "For we being many are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" See, the word partakers here comes from that same Greek word as communion. Paul's point is really pretty simple. He's saying that when we come to a table, when we come to the table, whether it's the Lord's table or, as he said, you know, the idol, whether it's an idol's or whether it's the Lord's table, those that come to the table are one, and they are also one with the object of their praise or adoration. We become one with it, as well as those who partake with us. He says, "We being many are one bread, one body." Jesus is the bread of life. And in communion, we commune. We become one with one another. And more importantly, we become one with the Son of God. We become one with Christ. Now, understand, the Lord's Supper was kind of a new thing for the people of God, but the idea of eating and drinking in God's presence was not. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 11, the people of Israel there were camped before Mount Sinai. God had given the Ten Commandments. God called the leaders of Israel up to the mountain to meet with him. And it says this in Exodus 24, 9 through 11. "Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink." Now, there's about three sermons in these three verses. There's a lot of stuff here, but foremost, and to our point today, is the fact that God invited these men into his presence where they shared a meal with him. They dined with him. So it wasn't a new thing. There's another example in Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23, and then in verse 26. And it's a verse that I actually referenced back during our Thanksgiving time. And the previous February, we were talking about tithing, and it has to do with the tithing of the crops. It says this beginning in verse 23. "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything that you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice." Again, a lot here. Several sermons, a whole series maybe. But the point is that each year, God's people were commanded to come into his presence, wherever that might have been, and to eat and drink, to have a meal before him. But if you go back all the way to the beginning, go all the way back to the beginning of God's word, there's another example. You've got God who put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them this abundance of things to eat. He says, it's all yours. You can eat of anything except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of this other stuff, this eat it all if you want. And since there, in that beginning part, there was no sin in the situation, and since God had created them for fellowship with himself and to glorify himself, then every single meal that Adam and Eve ate would have been a meal of feasting in the presence of God. Can you imagine that? He created them for communion, for oneness with Him. And that oneness, that communion, was broken by sin. But even so, God still allowed some meals, such as the tithe of the fruits we read about, so that the people could eat in the presence of God. These meals were seen as a partial restoration of the fellowship with God that Adam and Eve had enjoyed before the fall. They were a picture of the communion that God desires with us. But the fellowship of eating in the presence of the Lord that we find in the Lord's Supper is even better. The Old Testament sacrificial meals continually pointed to the fact that they were looking for the Messiah. The Messiah had not yet come. When they were sharing those meals in the Old Testament context, that they were looking forward to the Messiah. But the Lord's Supper reminds us that the Messiah has come and He has made payment for our sin. It's already been accomplished. So now we can eat in the Lord's presence with great rejoicing, because now we can truly commune with God again because of what Jesus has done. The enmity that stood between us and God has been removed. So the offense that kept us from being one with God is now gone. And all that stands between God and us is usually our stubborn wills, our ego, our arrogance, our pride, those type of things. So we put those aside as we come to the table and we enjoy communion with God and with one another. But even as we take the Lord's Supper, we recognize that the Lord's Supper looks forward. Even as the meals in the Old Testament look forward to what we enjoy today, what we enjoy today looks forward to an even more wonderful fellowship meal in God's presence in the future, when the fellowship of Eden will be restored and there will be even greater joy, because those who eat in God's presence will be forgiven sinners like us, now perfect in His presence, now confirmed in righteousness, never to sin again. But until that time comes, until that moment when we go into the presence of God fully, Jesus invites us to join together with Him in remembrance of His sacrifice for us. So we come and we join together today. Let me invite you to participate with us in communion. Whether you're a member of College Park or not, as believers at College Park, we practice open communion, which means we invite you to be a part of what we experience together in communion. Again, it is the meal enjoyed in the presence of God and in the presence of one another, being one with God and being one with one another. So we invite you now to come with us to the table. Matthew's gospel gives us a little bit different wording than Luke, and so I like to vary it up. But here's the account of the Lord's Supper in Matthew. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, He gave thanks, and He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples, saying, take and eat. This is My body. Let's bless it. Dear Father, we thank You for your love that held Jesus on the cross, Your love that allowed Him to stay and to know the redemption that was taking place through His broken body and His spilled blood. We are truly thankful, Father, for the nature of that sacrifice and how it enables us to come to a feast and to commune with You and one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat. Again, from Matthew's gospel, It says, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the promise of eternal life with you. Father, we know that that began the day we invited you into our heart, invited you to become our Lord. Father, invited you to guide our steps, and we invited your Son to be our Savior and our Lord. God, we pray that as we prepare for each day, that we would do so remembering the nature of Jesus' sacrifice. Father, as we prepare for eternity, we give you thanks for the promises of your word, how we will join in full communion. Until such time, Father, help us to walk in accordance with your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Take and drink. Matthew goes on to say that they sang a hymn before they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we're going to do that. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, and it is 320, hymn number 320. During that singing of that hymn, if you have a decision you'd like to make, either to accept Christ or renew your commitment to him or to join this church, whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Would you stand with me? Following our benediction and the choral response, I invite you to commune with one another, continue to fellowship, speak a kind word, introduce yourself to someone you may not know or recognize. Enjoy the company, enjoy the communion of the saints as we go from here into our mission field. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your presence that strengthens us and guides us, prepares us. Father, as we go from this place, we pray that the things that we say, the actions that we perform, would always give glory to you. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.